You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, friends? This is Catfish on Ice Playoff Edition. This is your host, Chad Minton, with co-host Max Greenberg. Max, how are you doing, man?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
All things considered, recovering from that game one loss.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, that game one was not great, but it is what it is, I guess.
We're going to break it down in depth. I am on the East Coast, and even for our Central time zone friends, that is a late start for a
it
game.
It is. Luckily, I feel like I'm usually able to stay up a little longer than most people. I usually finish these games, but still, it's getting up there late.
Yeah, I stayed up late for that one. It makes it sting that much more when you stay up all late into the night past your maybe normal bedtime. And stay up for that game to watch how the Predators lost that game. First of all, everybody, it's not only my rule. I'm not saying I invented this rule. But my rule is you don't panic in a 7-game series until you lose on home ice. Especially true when you are the underdog. So I get it. It sucks how you lost that game. You feel like Nashville completely squandered an opportunity to steal game one. They showed everybody that they are capable of beating the Canucks in this series. Even after this loss, I do not change my opinion on that. My prediction in my Predlines preview that you can still go read now is Canucks in seven. And that is me being very, very like, if we're going 55-45, I am as close as you can get to this being a 7-game series, a toss-up. But I did take Canucks in seven. So I'm not really freaking out by losing game one. I'm really upset by the fact that they should have won game one, and they had all it took was 60 seconds of a breakdown on defense to lose game one. That is the margin for error in the playoffs. That's how razor thin your margin for error is. And the Predators, unfortunately, failed on that.
Yeah, well, tough loss. I will say this. I know it's a low bar, but just think last time we were in the playoffs, 10 minutes into game one, it was the series already over, basically, against the Avalanche. Remember that?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I do remember that.
It was totally different, thankfully. Again, low bar, but the Preds, again, were in this game. And, you know, I don't think the Preds necessarily play their best hockey in this game. I think there are things that I'm sure we're going to go over, things that we would like to see better that we want to improve going into game two. But, you know, the Preds hung around. The Preds showed they're not just going to lie down and die. They're going to be in this to compete. And, you know, at the very least, I would still be very surprised if the Preds don't get at least one game winning.
Well, yes, this is episode 231 of Catfish on Ice, with your host Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. Thank you for joining us on this Monday between games one and game two. So we have plenty to get into here. We're going to fully break down game one. There's a lot to unpack there. We're going to look ahead to game two on Tuesday. If you're listening on your drive into work today or on Tuesday, thank you for listening. Hit subscribe, rate the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Throw us a comment. Tell us what you think about the podcast. We always love hearing from our listeners. And of course, if you're watching the live stream right now on X or Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, hit the follow button, hit the subscribe button, comment live on the stream. We love hearing from all of you. Also going to watch and give our live reaction to the Stars and the Golden Knights. And also the rest of the things that have happened so far in the first round of the playoffs, which kicked off on Saturday. We've already got some game twos happening. How about the Maple Leafs responding and tying the series with Boston? No shortage of drama in that series as it's tied 1-1. A lot of drama in that game too. In fact, a goal that was called back on a high stick, which was the right call, but then Toronto comes back and scores anyway quickly after the goal was wiped away. So I found that to be a really massive response for Toronto in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I still, you know, even after they lost, for as much as we love to make fun of the Maple Leafs and everything, all the failures they've had over in the playoffs over the years, you know, no one thought that series was just going to be a sweep. And, you know, even being in Boston, the Maple Leafs, even in these series, they've proven to, of course, be competitive, but, you know, they have to win it. But, you know, I'm not surprised they bounced back and won this game too. And boy, did they need it after that game one. They got blown out in that one.
We're just waiting for Toronto to fail. I feel like every playoffs, we're just waiting for them to fail. We're waiting for them to screw up. But they did a great job tying the series up. Did you do a bracket, Max? Bracket challenge?
I did.
All right, so we got to go over that a little bit here. Yep. It's not like March Madness. It's not like picking 64, however many teams it is now in March Madness. But it is still fun. And I did pretty good, at least. I know you picked the series. You don't pick game one and game two.
Right.
But kind of give me who you have advancing in the first round, real quick.
I picked I'm gonna start in the Eastern Conference, and I'm gonna try to get to the Preds series last. So I got
that works.
In the Eastern Conference, I got Florida over Tampa Bay in seven games, Boston over Toronto in seven games, the Rangers over the Washington Capitals in six games.
Oh, and then six. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say six. And then I also have Carolina over the New York Islanders in five games. Going to the West, I have Dallas over Vegas in six games. I have Winnipeg over Colorado in five games. I have Edmonton over Los Angeles in six games. And I have the Preds over the Canucks in six games.
Okay. Wow. So
I did pick the Preds.
Wow. Okay. Well, and that takes a lot of bold optimism from you taking the Preds in six. I respect the hustle. I respect it. I really do. So I got Lightning beating the Panthers. They did lose game one, but it was close. Battle for Florida. Love that first round matchup. Perfect for the NHL. I've got Colorado beating Winnipeg. Sorry, I'm going Western Eastern Conference here. I'm so sorry about that. I got that's the first round series to watch out of all of them, in my opinion. But I got Colorado winning that series in seven over Winnipeg. And let's break before I finish my predictions. Let's talk about that wacky game one where you had six goals in the first period. And let me give you a little bit of credit, Max, because you called this a while ago. I did as well, so we can give each other credit a little bit where credit's due. We both questioned Alexander Georgiev, and can he be trusted? Is that the Achilles heel for the Colorado Avalanche? Now, what did you see? Was that on the goalie, or was that just the formula for great offense from both teams?
I mean, if I have to go back and look at, you know, each goal that was scored, you know, I have to think of each individual one. And I wouldn't say that it goes all on Alexander Georgiev. I still think the Avalanche gave up some good chances. But at the same time, I think that if you're normally an elite goaltender, even a really good goaltender, you're not going to give up all those goals. Like, some of those saves you're going to make. And, you know, I think, and it's kind of weird, you know, because Connor Hellebuck also gave up six goals in this game. But Connor Hellebuck's a proven top, probably the best goaltender in the league, in my opinion. A guy like him gets the benefit of the doubt for a bad game or so. Georgiev, not so much. No, and when you give up six goals, like seven goals, I believe it was, like that, people are going to assume that's kind of who you are. And the way I look at that series, and I think a lot, and I've seen a lot of other takes that agree with this too, is you're the Colorado Avalanche. You scored 6 goals on Connor Hellebuyck. You still lost the game. So how, that's not a great sign, in my opinion, going forward for the Avalanche. Cause I don't think you're going to score 6 goals on Hellebuyck again. But unfortunately for someone like Georgiev, people think it's very possible that he gives up 4+ goals a game consistently.
Yeah. If you're the Avalanche though, coming out of that series, I mean, or coming out of that game one, yeah, I know Jared Bednar didn't seem too upset over it. Let's say hi to some people. We got our fellows, Justin Gambino's in and says hi. We got Redemption in here. We got Maddie in here.
Yep.
We're still looking to get Maddie on the podcast soon. Got some fun people. It looks like we just went on to the wrong Twitter page. Look at this. Hockey Town West podcast says, hey, boys, you're live on the wrong Twitter page. You are live on ours. Hey.
Interesting.
Hey, let's just spread our wealth everywhere.
Yeah, I'm glad to be live somewhere else too.
Hey, that's a cool name for a podcast. Sorry about that for going on your page live, but hey, let's do a link up later. Maybe
that's
it's
pretty funny, actually.
Maybe it was meant to be.
Hey, everything's right. Destiny, you know?
Yes. All right. Yeah. So I got the Avs still winning that series in 7, but wow, that's going to be a first-round series for
the
ages.
And the Golden Knights, I see, just went up 2-0 in Dallas.
Okay, there you go. I have Dallas beating Vegas in 6 games, so we'll see how that closes out there. I've got Edmonton moving past not only LA in the first round, who I think is probably the lowest team on the totem pole out of all the playoff teams. I could eat my words on that, but
I'd probably agree with that, honestly.
But I've got Edmonton going to the conference final to play Dallas. And I've got Edmonton actually, or I've got Dallas going to the Stanley Cup final to face the Rangers. I got Rangers hoisting the cup. That's
you
what I've got this
trophy
year.
Curse being lifted.
Yes. So I've got Tampa knocking out Florida in 7. I've got Boston knocking out Toronto in 7. And I've got Carolina beating the Islanders in 6. And I've got the Rangers beating the Capitals in 5. Those are my first round series.
So you don't have a ton of upsets in your first round.
I don't. I'm going chalk. I'm going right. chalk.
I respect it. You got to be a little different sometimes.
Although Colorado beating Winnipeg, I could argue that you could call that maybe an upset. And I have a lot of 7-game series going here. So it's not like I'm saying that there's not. We know how this works.
These playoffs are so close, guys. Yeah. Like literally, I have Boston going to the finals and I have them in a 7-game series in the first round. That's how close a lot of these predictions are. And yes. I have Winnipeg going to the finals, and that's a bold one because they may not even go to the first round versus their opponent. These playoff matchups are so close.
A really, really good Stanley Cup caliber team is going to bow out in the first round out of that series between Winnipeg and Colorado. But that's why we love the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right. So Vegas has jumped out to an early 2-0 lead on Dallas. So we'll keep an eye on that. We are brought to you by DraftKings promo code THPN. We're also going to preview game 2 on Tuesday and get into some other stuff. But Max, let's start with game 1. Let me break it down a little bit for everybody. As you painfully probably already know, Preds,
sadly, I do.
First of all, that was a very heavy hitting, dare I say, humbling experience in game 1. Because guess what? Usually it's the Predators that do the bullying. Usually it's the Predators that lay the body and put everything on the other team. Guess what? The Canucks actually bullied the Predators when it comes to hits. You can see it right there. I know hits aren't an exact science, but Vancouver out-hit Nashville 41-34. It's a pretty rare occurrence that Nashville gets out-hit, but you saw it. Vancouver made it their game plan. We are going to throw our bodies up against the Preds players. We are going to make them feel us. We are going to bring the intensity. And I think Nashville did a pretty good job of matching that intensity as long as they could. Shots on goal were a premium.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Max, with that laid out there, let me set the table there. How are you feeling coming out of this game? Is this a crushing loss, or should we chill out a little bit and treat it like it's just one game?
You know, me personally, I think the truth's somewhere in the middle of all of it. And I mean, I'm going to read out a tweet I sent earlier today about, you know, kind of after sleeping on it last night, pretty much what I said at the end of the game. But here's what I said. Last night's Preds game was really unlike them recently. Unable to establish 5v5 offense and forecheck, lost the physicality in puck battles, Forsberg and Josi invisible, Soros bad game overall, and fell apart in the third period when we usually finish strong. Off night or true playoff colors? And kind of break that down. Well, first of all, let me also kind of summarize what I said to follow this up. Obviously, one game is not, you can't go off of one game and say that's it, because everybody has, you know, rough games. And I said, you know, I said in the right after in the thread, Connor Hellebuck giving up 6 goals is a perfect example of how one game is not going to define everything. But here's how I see this, because, you know, the Preds, one way or another, the Preds have to figure this out quick. You know, it's not a situation where like, oh, you got some time to decide. No, you lose 4 games in a series and you're gone. So the way I kind of see this going is, you know, as far as the players, Forsberg and Josi, I give them the benefit of the doubt as far as saying I think they'll bounce back because they're star players and they've earned that benefit of the doubt. I think Soros has as well finished season strong, and he's done well in the playoffs when he's been there, so I think he'll bounce back as well. I think a lot of what it's going to come down to is, like you said, Chad, and I completely agree, can the Predators hang in there and match and potentially overtake the Canucks in terms of the physicality, being able to forecheck, all that stuff? Because that's where a lot of the root of the Preds' offense can come down to. And the Canucks are also not going to let up being a physical team. They were one of the most physical teams all year. They were one of the few teams ahead of the Preds in terms of hits on the season. So it's one thing the Preds, they're going to have to adapt to that. It's not just going to be one of those things where like, oh, it's what game, maybe you'll see if they get tired. No, Canucks are going to continue to hit. So the Preds are going to have to find
that's
a
what
way
I saw.
To
be in that's that. What I saw. So you watch that first period and shots were hard to come by for both teams. There's not a lot of ice to work with. You saw the Canucks finishing all their checks hard. And it doesn't happen very often. I just said this. But the Preds were overmatched in the physical department in game one.
Losing puck battles too.
They looked a step slower. Now, they got those goals, and I will say that Jason Zucker goal, credit to him. I love that he got the goal. That's one that Thatcher Demko probably wants back. There was traffic in front of him, and it was probably a hard goal to see. But by no means was that a highlight reel goal by Jason Zucker. Mm-hmm. So, but you get it. You stun the crowd a little bit. Canucks come back and score, and they tie it at 1, and then the Preds jump ahead and get the lead back on that Ryan O'Reilly goal on the power play in an area that Ryan O'Reilly doesn't normally score from. He is more of an inside, in by the net, greasy goal type of goal scorer. That was a good wrister, really good wrister to beat Thatcher Demko there. There was a little bit of a argument that maybe it was goalie interference. The Canucks didn't challenge it.
They didn't challenge. So if you don't challenge, I don't care.
And they were smart not to, because it wouldn't have been not goalie interference. But then you really saw the Canucks take over. Quinn Hughes, I mean, he's the real deal. And that was just an incredible shot from way outside. So pinpoint accuracy. But Max, what did you see? It's one thing to give up the tie when the tying goal happened and it was 2-2, I took a deep breath and I was thinking, okay, we're back to square. Let's keep this going here. You know, let's see what happens. But so quickly, that breakdown by the Preds was just nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
And
it was real bad.
So go ahead. What did you see there, man? Like, what happened? It's one thing to give up a goal like that to Quinn Hughes, who is probably going to win the Norris Trophy. It happens. Superstars score goals. Okay, it happens. You're 2-2. You're still in great situation there. you're still in a good spot if you're the Predators with it tied 2-2. But to just get stunned like that, and you've either been tied or had the lead the entire game. For the most part, you had that raucous crowd out of it. And then to let them storm back and take the lead so quick, it was just wind out of your sails. It was like in the Predators, if you're talking a boxing match, if you're equating it to a boxing match, it was like the Preds got tagged with a couple shots on the chin and they couldn't recover. They couldn't recover after that.
Well, a lot of that, and you really don't want to pin anything on one player, even two players, but on that goal, that was a lackadaisical shift by Jeremy Lauzon and Alexander Carrier, who both had a terrible night. And I don't know if you saw, did you see after the game, the Hockey Stat Cards account tweeted out?
They I did not see it. Share it with us.
There was a I'll send it to you, Chad, on Twitter here if I can find it. But
yeah, and I'll pull it up.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't remember the exact stats. Let me look at it right here. It's essentially without going too deep, it was ranking your impact on offense and defense that whole night. And overall, Lauzon and Carrier were bar none the two worst players on the team that whole night. And even a few minutes after that goal against Carrier, nearly had a delay of game penalty that like just hit the glass or something that barely made it not a delay of game. But those two players were really bad at not. And even on that goal, they were both on the ice right down low. And when that happened, that goal happened, Carrier was literally right in the blue paint almost. And it felt like he took a very just lazy swipe at the puck and it went through his legs. But like if that again, all that to be said though, that goal right there out of the faceoff, that was about as close as you could get to like putting a goal on two guys right there. And that just kind of torpedoed the rest of the game for the Preds. It was, yeah, they just couldn't have it. But yeah, those two guys right there, I have to call out both those guys for that goal. And everybody, especially myself, has been very complimentary of Lauzon, especially for this year, but he had played a bad game last night, and that shift right there, really bad, not what you want to see.
And bad games are going to happen, so we're not going to like freak out over one game. But yes, that's a really bad unraveling there. And to shift it back to Saros, he didn't face a lot of shots, but the shots he did face were high quality. And you look at the expected goals, not counting the empty net goal by Vancouver, you're looking at a pretty even. Saros struck even when it comes to the expected goals. He stopped some really tough shots. Thatcher Demko stopped Anthony Beauvillier early in the game.
Yeah, that was crazy.
With a pad save. I don't think either team has to – I feel like both teams going into game two realize they have another gear that they need to kick it into when it comes to their offense. But this series is going to be won in the trenches. I think that message is loud and clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, it'd be one thing for the Preds if, you know, from their point of view, if they could look at the Canucks and be like, man, they weren't a really physical team all year. They probably get tired or whatever. No, the Canucks are one of the very most physical teams and one of the few teams that outhit the Preds in the regular season. So that's something that the Preds are really going to have to adapt to. And if they got to find a way to, you know, match, if not overtake the Canucks physicality, yet, you know, not let it get out of control, because, you know.
So we have it on the screen here. Like I said, goals were at a premium. Shots on goal were at a premium in this game one with the Preds and the Canucks. You're looking at the expected goals percentage here, according to MoneyPuck. We have it on the screen for our YouTube viewers, our Facebook viewers, and our X viewers. And no offense to Colton Sissons. He's my guy. I love him. But you don't want Colton Sissons leading in this category.
No. Yeah.
Where is Phil Forsberg? Oh, he is.
You can see
him in
very small print right up there.
In the fine, fine, fine print, you can find Phil Forsberg.
And Roman Yossi is just a little bigger, but that's it.
At a 0.09. Mm-mm. That is your expected goals by Phil Forsberg. Now,
It's not going to get it done.
We realize things happen. This was a game where it was not easy for any player to find open ice. So we're not going to come down too hard on Philip Forsberg. We expect him to respond in game two. We're going to get into game two preview here in a second. But we can't break down game one and what went wrong without at least addressing that elephant in the room, which is Philip Forsberg and the low expected goals there. Colt Sissons. Let's talk about Colt Sissons. He was heated. This my man was playing like his head was on fire. He was enraged. He was bringing that intensity. So I appreciate that from Colton Sissons. Luke Evangelista had a pretty strong game as well. He was engaged.
That pass to Beauvillier. People talk about the save on Demko. That pass though. Whoo.
I thought that Spencer Stastny rose up to the occasion and played a pretty game.
And that's a statement from the organization. They believe in Spencer Stastny a lot.
We're sharing all these analytics here from Money Puck. So I'm scrolling down the screen for all of our viewers. There's all of your goals percentages. Again, you see Evangelista and Zucker up top. You see McDonough. You see Sissons.
Yossi's up there. Okay.
Yeah, well, Yossi did have the assist, and he did have the post-stinger that Demko.
Right.
I thought that was going to be a goal. I can't remember exactly what point of the game that was, but I do remember Yossi skating freely with the red carpet, which didn't happen very often in this game. Mm-mm. And he blasted one, and slow-mo replay, Demko barely nicked it, and it hit the post. So that probably helped Yossi a little bit in that category. But look at Forsberg. He is way down there, man.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
That is a very abnormal situation.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. Mm-mm.
For Forsberg to be that far down. We can keep scrolling down. Zoom out a little bit. This is all from moneypuck.com. There's your Pred stats there individually. Ryan O'Reilly plays almost 24 minutes of ice time. He does get the power play goal. So, Max.
Yep.
I said my X factor of this series is, can the Preds match the Canucks on the power play? Well, even though they lost game one, they went 1-for-4 on the power play. The Canucks went 0-for-2. I thought the refs let a lot go in this game.
Yeah, they did.
There were a couple situations, let me put my bias aside, where if the refs wanted to call this a little bit more ticky-tack, I think the Preds could have ended up in the penalty box a time or two more, and they didn't. But all things considered, they do go 2-for-2 on the penalty kill. Even though they did get that one power play goal, man, those last couple power plays were awful by the Preds, and the Canucks sniffed it out.
Yeah, I remember one of the power plays. I think the second one after we scored the goal, you tweeted something. They were just being way too passive and not shooting, and I agreed with that. And you know, it's tough. You know, technically speaking, just going by the numbers, the Preds did win the special teams battle, going 1-for-4. That's still a very passable percentage. You know, if you're going 25%, it's not great, but it's still decent. You know, and then the main thing people were worried about was that the Canucks. Their power play was going to light us up, and it didn't, thankfully, at least for game one. So that's a good sign right there. But yeah, I mean, with those power play opportunities and, you know, being able to shut out the Canucks on the power play, and it's not like, and with the penalty kill did a good job. It's not like they just kind of like, hung in there. No, the penalty kill, you know, sniffed it out. They got clears and they did well on their own. So that was good to see there, the penalty kill holding serve and keeping the Canucks off the board there. But yeah, you would have liked for those last three power plays to result in something, because they were a good few in a row and the Preds couldn't take advantage. So it's tough to lose the game when you technically win the special teams battle. But yeah.
So you see UC Saros here. He finishes negative in the goal saved above expected. But I mean, I'm not going to pin this loss on Saros at all. He didn't face a lot of shots.
The first goal was bad.
Yes. Well, both goalies gave up soft first goals in that regard.
At least Demko was kind of screened on his. Soros was not really.
You're looking at the most effective line combinations on five for Money Puck. You've got the Zucker, Sissons, Evangelista line as the most effective in terms of expected goals for. And then, I mean, again, you got to go way down to, I mean, it really comes down to we need more from Forsberg.
Yeah. Absolutely, and they're not
everything on the
staff. They're not going to break up, and I sure hope, and I don't anticipate they're going to break up that top line yet. But
everything no, of course not. But let's look at it right now. We've got it. Let me zoom in a little bit so everyone can see it on the screen. Look at that! One of the best top lines in terms of efficiency in Preds history. I mean, you look at the numbers. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist line is up there with the Jofa line, and it's up there with. Yeah. The lines, the Paul Kariya line back in the day. You look at game one, look at that, a 0.082 expected goals for. That is so minuscule.
Yeah.
Almost 10 minutes of ice time together at 5-on-5. That's another thing that has me worried. I've always said, I trust the Preds at 5-on-5. I think the Preds can hang with anybody on 5-on-5, but not with that. Not with that. That's a recipe to get swept. And when I see that, I kind of go both ways on it. In one way, I'm thinking, wow, the Preds had a chance to win game one on the road against Vancouver with that number being so bad from the top line. But then the other side of me looks at it and thinks, okay, if they don't address that quick, I feel like the Canucks are going to expose that even worse. And when we could be heading to a sweep or a 5-game series at most, we need Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. I know O'Reilly scored the power play goal. I know Forsberg did have an assist in this game. And I do realize that Nyquist had an assist as well on that power play. But you look at that on ice expected goals 4-5-on-5, and you see that low of a number. That's something that's like my top priority that you have to improve on, and you expect them to improve on that in game two.
Yeah, I think you only can expect that to get better. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, you know, your best players are your best players, and until the Preds and Forsberg especially really give me a reason to be like, okay, they're just not here at all. I'm going to expect Forsberg to bounce back. He's played really well all year, and your best players, good, truly good players like that, get the benefit of the doubt until they really show that they're out of it. So yeah, I do expect Forsberg to bounce back.
And to back up what you were saying about it being a really down game for the Carrier-Lauzon pairing, which has been so reliable for most of the season. They lead among Preds defensive pairing stats in the wrong category. So over 16 minutes of ice time together at 5-on-5, and they give up the most on ice expected goals against at over a goal expected against. Now, again, this was a game where neither team had an easy time finding scoring chances. So we do want to preface by saying that we're not trying to just completely beat down the Preds and say they played an awful defensive game. But if you're circling something on the defensive side of things, it's that huge breakdown that allowed the Canucks to just stun the Predators and take the 3-2 lead. I wasn't that worried when they tied the goal, when they made it 2-2. I didn't even have time to really react. It was like it was tied at 2. I was thinking, okay, here we go, back to a tie game. And then I didn't even have time to sit down in my seat and get comfortable. And it was like, oh, it's 3-2 now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was literally, I literally didn't have time to tweet and send the second goal reactions. Yeah. I tweet every time there's a goal, and I literally was typing. And then I saw the other, actually not even that. I literally even saw the, because I was watching and it was a little bit behind real time. And I saw the, I saw like the Preds account tweeted the third goal before I even got a tweet about the second one.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
that's just like I said.
You can't have that happen. Yeah,
that kills you. It just like, rips your heart out.
Win, and that's how you blow it.
It rips your heart out. It completely does. So let's get caught up on some other comments here. Maddie jumps into the chat here and says, "I think once we see Forsberg producing this series, this series is going to look different." Yeah, I mean that's an X factor, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to look. He's got to be better, and it's got to look different when he's better. So yeah.
Redemption giving us an update on the Dallas Vegas game, and it is goals coming fast and furious in Dallas. Vegas up 3-1 now.
3-2 now. 3-2. Dallas scored another goal.
Yeah, 3-2 Vegas.
Dallas also had a goal waved off, so it really could be 3-3.
We got Terry Bloomer on X. Thank you for joining us on X. We really appreciate it. They jump in on the chat and says, the boys will come back. Most of them never played in playoff games, so watch tomorrow night scores. All right. There you have it there.
Yep.
Like I said, I never panic in a seven-game series until you drop home ice. And let's address this. That Canucks crowd, they brought it. You can tell they're a fan base that hadn't hosted a playoff game in almost a decade. You can tell that they also haven't won a Stanley Cup. You got a first round series between two teams that haven't won a Stanley Cup. So there's that. I want to give some credit. I'm going to pull it up here and I'll put it on the screen. So we've been hearing a lot of talk about how just kind of how hard Vancouver Canucks fans are to deal with. I mean, they've been bringing it, Max.
I think I've done a pretty good job staying out of it so far. Maybe I should be more involved. I don't know. But, like, the fans are going to be fans, so you just got to let them, honestly.
I mean, it is what it is. You can't take the bait on trolls and some of these ridiculous.
Although I did see one remarkable comment today where I think it was a post that I remember exactly how it happened, but I think after the loss, the Preds set something up to still go score to win 16 games. Something. Well, some person commented, well, now you got to win 17 games. I'm like, no, buddy, that's not how this works. Just because we lost does not mean no. It's still 16 wins for us only. That was the one comment where I'm like.
So let me put this on the screen.
Okay, that was weird.
So this is from Lee Minter on X. And they put on here, I love watching Nashville and Vancouver fans getting acquainted with each other. Vancouver fans never realized how obsessed Nashville fans are with hockey and the Predators. And Nashville fans never realized how incel, insufferable, and vile Vancouver fans are.
Yeah, you always gotta love a good fan battle, you know?
And if we want to scroll down here, let me make sure. I love how someone responds here on the post and says, I love how me, big-time Oilers fan, and you, big-time Kings fan, both have a burning hatred for Vancouver.
I mean, we have a couple Western Canadians in our group chat for our fantasy hockey league. They don't seem to have too much love for Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, they are a little insufferable. I got to be careful about scrolling through these comments too much because I'm sure there's some stuff on here that's not safe for work.
Right.
But yeah, so I wanted to at least share that. I've got one more real quick that I'm going to share on the screen from X and my adventures and some of the things I've come across in terms of getting ready for this series. Because, I mean, this is only the second time Nashville and Vancouver have met in the playoffs. The last time was back in, what was it, 2012? 2011.
Yep.
Second round.
Yep.
First time. Here's the one I wanted to really share. This is the best burn I've seen someone put out there. Because you know what I get sick of all the time, Max? The most tired comeback ever that Nashville fans have to deal with from hockey Twitter. How many Stanley Cups do you have? I thought we put that to rest playing all those years going up against Chicago, but it's resurfacing now. But it's hilarious coming from a fan base that's never won a Stanley Cup and has been around twice as long as
way Nashville. Longer. And it is a much more traditional hockey market, mind you.
Yeah. So let me put it on the screen. Shout out to Corey Curtis, the sports director of News 2 WKRN, where I actually did my sports internship at way back in the day in 2010. Nice. Shout out to News 2. But look at that. The Vancouver Canucks have been around for 54 years. How many cups does this mighty hockey market boast? I think Corey Curtis was asking that tongue in cheek.
I think a lot of that came from because I'm sure you remember how, you know, the Preds, of course, as they do, and a lot of other fan bases do, they ban non-local residents from buying tickets to their playoff games. And I remember one of the comments I remember was Vancouver. Someone from Vancouver tweeted, "Wow, they must know how well we travel for the playoffs." But yesterday, they still had a bunch of their tickets remaining unsold. We had literally fewer tickets remaining on this resale market for game 3 at home, which is in 4 days from now. Yesterday, they were still having more tickets to be sold for their game 1 at home. So, yeah. But that's about all as much as I'll say. I'll do what I said and kind of ignore from here on out.
Yeah. So Maddie jumps in and says, "It is Earth Day today, and these fans have been doing good work recycling old jokes today, to be fair." Oh, good job, Maddie, on that one. I love Earth Day, by the way. Any way we can protect our beautiful planet, I'm all for it. So happy Earth Day to everybody. Please take care of our beautiful planet the best you can, because it's the only planet we have right now that we can live at. But good one, Maddie. I love it. Thank you for that. Good comment there. But yeah, good job to Corey Curtis. That was my favorite Twitter burn that I've seen in a long time. I don't even know how you respond to that. That's what I said. So love that. I love the, as long as it's all like fair, I don't mind trash talk. I mean, that's what makes sports fun. I don't have a problem with all that. Let's just not get like too ridiculous. I saw some idiot that I'm not going to even share on this screen. I'm not going to give him a platform, but they wanted to bring politics into it. No, it's like, yeah, no. It's like, come on, dude. Like no. we're talking sports here. If you want to go argue politics, there's plenty of,
I think I know what you're talking about.
There's plenty of forums out there where you can get into politics if you want. And if you want to get into that, that's totally fine. I'm not saying don't argue politics. If you don't want to, don't bring that kind of crap into a hockey debate. Cause there's most people who are trying to escape that garbage and they're just wanting to talk hockey. Same. So that's where it gets ridiculous. And I'm not going to even give that person a platform. But that was the first thing I came across on Saturday on my timeline. And I was like, I kind of regret signing on today because that's the first thing I'm seeing. But
well, with the old Twitter machine, you get the good and the bad. And you just got to take the bad with the good.
That's true. It's a necessary it's a necessary evil right now. We love Twitter because it connects us with connects all of us. But at the same time, sometimes it is just completely insufferable.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're about to break down game 2 and what we think needs to change. We're going to get a little bit more into what is happening in the other playoff series right now.
Edmonton, before we do that, a 2-0 lead against LA.
Before we do that, let's tell you about DraftKings, our longtime and amazing sponsor. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Let me pull up Tuesday's action on DraftKings Sportsbook app right now so I can give you what is going on so you know where to use those bonus bets at. And I know you're riding into work maybe right now if you're downloading the podcast. We appreciate you. Let's look at our Tuesday Stanley Cup playoff action. We got the heavy underdog Washington Capitals, who had one of the worst goal differentials in history in like going back three or four decades. Did you see that? I was looking at the game.
I completely missed what you just said there.
The Capitals are one of the worst goal differentials.
I did see that.
They were like over 70 goals negative.
I saw it was like the worst, one of the worst ever. And I didn't see that till like the day before. I'm like, wow, they really don't deserve to be here, I guess.
So they're going up against, well, somebody had to get that final playoff spot in the East. Because, right. I mean, you know. But let's look at the Tuesday action. You got the Capitals at the Rangers in game two action. And you've got the Rangers as a -285 heavy favorites. So if you want to take a little bit of a gamble and a risk, I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying some people like to take risk. You might want to just take a flyer on the Capitals to stun the Rangers in game two. I got the Rangers as my Stanley Cup pick, though. You got the Lightning at the Panthers for game two. That was a really close game one.
Really good. Battle of Florida never disappoints.
They do have DraftKings has the Panthers as a -185 favorite. If I was a betting man, I would take a dabble at the Lightning there, but don't take my word for it. You do what you want to do there. Avalanche at the Jets for the game two. Do we expect the scoring to come down a little bit? Do we expect the goalies to respond? I mean, you look at it, Max.
I expect one of them to at least.
Oh, I can't imagine which one you expect to come back.
I wonder which one I would think would bounce back.
I would think it's probably Connor Hellebuck, but who am I to
maybe
guess?
Just maybe.
And then, of course, to round out the action again, the nightcap. We're gonna have to stay up late again. We got the Preds at the Canucks for game two, and DraftKings does have the Canucks as the favorites, but it's only a -162 favorite. So out of all of your road teams, the Predators have the best odds.
And, well, also one thing we haven't talked about yet.
Well, let me rephrase that. Avalanche and Jets are pretty much a toss-up according to DraftKings. But the Predators do have pretty decent road odds compared to the other two games on Tuesday night.
One thing I also was, and I guess it doesn't, I guess it, it's different now because the Maple Leafs won on the road, but like coming into tonight, no road team had won the playoffs yet. And pending the results of the, these game, because it's still game one for the other Western Conference games tonight, none of them, if the away teams in these other games for the Western Conference games won, go and they don't win, then road teams in game one in the playoffs this year in the first round will have gone winless.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, game two is always if you're the road team in games one and two, and you can just win one of those two, it's always been said that.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, I mean, it's how the Preds lost that hurts. It's not that they lost. That's kind of where we're at, right? I think that's
a pretty
fair feeling there. Let's say the Preds would have been trailing that entire game and they just could have never figured it out. It hurts. What makes it hurt so bad is they had the 2-1 lead and you feel like they choked it away a little bit. I mean,
to give up two goals in 12 seconds like that, that is kind of choking it away. Yeah.
Yes. So let's shift our attention to game two, Max. Yep. For a lot of our listeners, they're listening on the game day right now on a Tuesday. So tonight in that instance, Max, what besides, we already covered Forsberg, so let's move away from him. Let's not beat up on him too much.
Yep.
What's something else that you feel like can shift game two into the favor of the Predators? Or how do you see game two going? Do you think game two is going to be much different from game one? Or do you see this series staying the same?
I'm kind of repeat myself, but I'm going to say again what I'm thinking. I think it's going to be really a lot about how the Preds handle the physicality and forecheck aspect of this game. You know, like I said, the Canucks are not a team that's going to let up. It's going to continue to be that way. But now that the Preds kind of have their feet wet, they know what it's like being in a playoff matchup. And, you know, also, because it's not like the because these teams also essentially didn't really know each other coming in, because yes, they played in the regular season, but that was still in the calendar year 2023. Completely different situation now.
Two of their three meetings were in October.
Yeah, you know, literally. And yeah, I mean, it's completely, but now the Preds have their feet wet a little bit. They know what they're going to get. They know that the Canucks are still going to play physical. That's how the biggest thing that I hope they respond to well, because that's going to unlock the forecheck. That's, again, that's really where the 5-on-5 offense has come through a lot of the times. So if you can get that going and you can kind of, and you can get back to winning that battle, then I feel good about where this can go. But if the Preds still continue to get kind of get bullied, lose puck battles, get beat on the boards, that kind of stuff, I'm not going to feel great about where this series. I think that's where a lot of it's going to come down to. And also, even though he wasn't terrible, I still think the Preds still have to get better play from Saros if they're going to win this series.
Two things for me. I agree with everything you just said, Max, but two things for me. One, I'm sticking to my guns. Even though the Preds did technically win the special teams battle because they did score a power play goal, the Canucks went 0-for-2. I see the Canucks getting, I don't want to say they're going to get more calls. Like, I'm not trying to say the refs are going to give them more calls. I think that the Predators got out a little lucky by only taking two power play or giving away two power plays to the Canucks.
That itself is good. That's a good result, but that's probably not going to hold up. You're right.
I hate to say this, but I think the Canucks are going to get at least three or four power plays in this game too. So we'll see what happens there. And I think the Canucks are going to keep taking penalties too. I think this series is going, you're going to see a lot of special teams because when you play this type of style, sometimes you leave the refs no choice but to blow the whistle. And I think the refs did a great job in game one.
All things good, I agree. And like, and also,
I don't have any qualms with officiating.
But like, and especially in a series like the Canucks and Preds, where both teams are two like top, I'd say top five most physical teams in the league from the regular season, it's a tough series to officiate. And the refs are not going to be perfect. But overall, last night, I thought they did a good job. That's what I'm saying.
So going into game,
and I'm not one who like blames the refs really, but I wouldn't blame the refs at all from last night.
So going into game two, I think, yeah, you have something to build off of because you did kill their two power plays and you did score one power play goal, but I don't think the Preds are satisfied with that.
No.
I don't think they are at all.
Three power plays went.
They left at least one goal on the table that they should have cashed in on another power play at least. And that could have been a very different game. It could have at least gone to overtime at that point. So I think going into game two, you need to expect the physical intensity to be the same, just like you're saying, Max. And I think you're going to see the Preds get three or four power plays probably. You're probably going to see the Canucks get more than two power plays. Can you keep up with the Canucks when it's in terms of power play production? That I still have that circled. I had that circled in game one. I have it circled for game two. My second key factor I'm looking at is the top line has to show us more. It has to. I mean, it's so rare to see them not really put their stamp on a game, and they didn't. And the Preds still had a chance to steal game one.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little reason for optimism too.
And one thing I also will say, and it's been well documented, you know, especially during that big win streak from February to March, the Preds were a team that finished these games strong. Third periods were our friend, but last night it was a floundering in the third period. So you've got to finish these games better too. Really, for me, what I think, you know, the physicality and forecheck has got to be better for the Preds. You know, you definitely want to finish stronger, and you got to get, it's hard to say this, but hopefully tomorrow is a near perfect game from Saros.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to grade Saros in that game because everything happened so fast. He made some really good saves in the early portion of the game. He didn't face a lot of shots, but I thought he made some really high quality saves. Let's address here what Mike Twitter is saying. What's up, Mike Twitter? It's good to see you. He says, what was up with all the Hail Mary bomb passing the Preds were doing all third period? I think they were just desperate at that point and got out of their game.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, and what I'm going to say is it's more a feeling vibes thing more than anything, but I think the inability to, really get that forecheck made is what Mike is talking about. That kind of cause.
Squeegee Dude, which is a CJ on YouTube says the Preds need to get their pace up. They tried to play their game and we're out-checked, out-chased, and outplayed. Isles died tonight playing the same way the Preds played against a similar style team. So, yeah, I mean, that's another thing going into game two that we have to really address here is I think the Preds are going to have to take some chances and I thought they played too conservative. I thought they played too safe in game one. And it maybe if they hadn't have broke down defensively in that quick spurt, it could have maybe led to a gritty 2-1 win. I mean, I'm not saying it's a horrible style, but I think game two is going to be a little bit different. They're going to have, I see the Canucks maybe producing more offense and more scoring chances. And the Preds better be ready to match that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, again, it's just going to – yeah, the Canucks are, again, like they're not going to let up physically, and, you know, the Preds got to play faster, 100%.
Yeah, so Squeegee Dude also says, Mike, they were getting pressure too much or they had to dump the puck a lot or they wanted to get off the off-chance counter, but Canucks played a great defense to prevent it. That's what I saw. Yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of – times in this game where even though the shots on goal were pretty low for the Canucks, they had more quality zone time than the Predators did.
I thought so too. Yes.
There were so many times where the Preds just couldn't get into their offense. They couldn't get into a rhythm.
The Preds had one 5-on-5, like true sustained possession. I can't recall one, honestly.
Because they were defending. They were defending so much. So I'm sure that is what Andrew Brunette is at the drawing board dissecting right now, getting ready for game two, is how am I going to get this team ready to make a huge improvement in game two in terms of just getting zone time, get that zone time.
Which I will also say, you know, I listened to about, I believe, a 4-minute snippet of Andrew Brunette's interview after the game last night. And, you know, we've seen Brunette before be unfiltered with the media. He's not the kind of guy who's afraid to just say it like it is. Just say, if we played bad and we look really bad, then he's going to say it. He seemed to be pretty level-headed with the way last night turned out. Like he said, yeah, it wasn't our best hockey, but he's like, we did some good things. So I would think based on that, and a good reason why I would say no need to panic, is if Brunette's out here basically saying that, like, giving the vibe is like we played all right, but we still didn't play our best hockey, but saying that it could be improved versus like, oh, we just played terrible. I'm taking his word and saying that these issues can be turned around. Because again, he'll let you know, like that week before the U2 concert got canceled, he was pissed. He was not happy.
Yeah.
And he showed
it. Definitely. For me, there's no reason to mash the panic button or anything like that.
No.
You had a chance to steal game one and you didn't even play a great game. So that's something to put in the optimistic column, if you will. Is we didn't play a great game and we still had a chance to steal that game, if not for a really bad couple of minutes of defensive hockey. But me and Max are both going to give you our game two predictions. Before we do that, update on Dallas and Vegas.
Another
goal. A 4-2 Vegas game. Braden McNabb just scored on an assist from Jack Eichel. And we're in the second period, and it's a 4-2 game by Vegas. You've got goals from McNabb, from Hurdle, Tomas Hurdle, who is a late addition to the roster, been hurt. If everyone remembers our trade deadline episode, that live reaction from there it is right there.
That's it right there.
Love it. So Hurdle's already gotten in on the scoring. Of course, Jonathan Marchessault, who is a Conn Smythe winner. And then Mark Stone. So, yeah, all the guys are getting in on the party. All the usual suspects are getting in on the party for Vegas. And you've got Jamie Benn with the goal for Dallas, and you've got Jason Robertson with the goal for Dallas. So it's a 4-2 game. I buckle up, tighten your chin straps, because it'll be a fun series. Gosh, you're looking at it right now, though, man. And another goalie that we weren't sure if we were ready to trust in the playoffs, and that's Jake Oettinger.
Yeah.
And he's getting roasted as well.
4 goals on 9 shots.
Not a great average.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. And then, of course, for Vegas.
How did he save that?
Their goalie is Logan Thompson. We wondered if it was going to be Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson, and they go Logan Thompson. He's also given up two goals already. So, yeah, it's not been kind to goalies in the playoffs so far, at least in some of these Western Conference
series. It really has, like, especially when you consider how poorly Connor Hellebuck did last night. Man.
Yeah. Oh, you're sitting on cloud nine right now if you're Winnipeg. I know they were at home. And you,
absolutely.
I know you're at home and you expect to win game one because you're holding home ice, but to see Hellebuck get roasted like that, and
you still win.
You score seven goals. You don't expect Hellebuck to have a game like that very often. So you're sitting on cloud nine right now.
No, if I'm a Colorado fan, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and if I'm a Colorado fan, I'm like, at least we have that cup from 2 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here on episode 231 with our game two predictions. I'll start it off. I got this series going seven. I do have the Canucks winning this series. I'm going to actually take Nashville to win game two. I think they're going to up the intensity. I think they're going to get a little bit more aggressive. I see Forsberg getting in the goal column. I see the top line having a much better game. I see it being a little bit higher scoring. I'm not saying it's going to be an offensive slugfest like we're seeing with Vegas and Dallas right now or Colorado or Winnipeg, but I do see a little bit more open ice and maybe some more scoring going on. I'll even give a final score prediction. I'm going to go Preds 4-3 in overtime.
I am going to go with the Preds also. You know, I think that, and sorry, my computer is ringing here. I'm ignore that here, but you know, I'm going to go with the Preds. You know, as I said, beginning of the episode, I picked the Preds to win this series. And I think if the Preds are going to have if I'm going to be confident, the Preds still have a chance to get out of this series with a win. You got to win tomorrow night in Vancouver. I think you definitely want to split. You want to at least split those first two games. I think the Preds do. I'm still thinking goals are going to be pretty hard to come by. You know, the way these two teams have played, they're going to want to take each other off the puck a ton of times. And you still got two really high level goaltenders. I'm going to say the Preds get it done 3-1 with an empty netter at the end.
Okay. So you're calling another really low scoring game.
Yep.
And you think the Preds are going to have to do what they did similar to game one, only this time they don't fall apart and give up the two goals.
Correct.
All right. That's fair. All right. Yep. It's going to take it. Look, even if my prediction's wrong and the Preds lose game two and they come back to Nashville down 2-0, I'm still not going to be ringing the alarm bells necessarily. Because that's game three becomes a must win, obviously, if they lose game two. But again, I want to see how this team plays on home ice once we get back to home ice, and we'll see where the series is at that point. But me and Max are both going with the Preds to win game two. Almost every serious prediction out there that I saw from analysts and sports writers and all of those things, I would say probably more predictions picked the Canucks over the Preds, but I saw plenty of people pick the Preds, mostly in seven. I didn't see very many people pick the Preds in six, but I know PK Subban took the Preds. He was one of the bigger ones I saw that picked the Preds. But it's got seven games written all over it. So if it's going to go seven games, the Preds probably got to win game two, but we'll see. Yep. So it should be fun. We will be back for another episode later in this first round series. But until then, we really appreciate you joining us to react to game one and get you ready for game two between the Preds and the Canucks. It's awesome talking playoff hockey again. We'll see you soon. Until then, everyone take care.
See you guys later.